Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Isaiah, the third chapter. For those of you that were here last week, I had started preaching a sermon about the signs of a nation that is disintegrating or degrading away, meaning it's beginning to decay and to break down. And we looked in Isaiah, the third chapter, and looked at some of the signs that you may notice of a nation who is starting to disintegrate. And of course, if you have looked around and read any history, you see that just because a nation becomes a nation does not mean that they last forever. Because a kingdom becomes a kingdom doesn't mean it lasts forever. You look at, in just a night or two, the great Babylonian Empire was overthrown. You know, now maybe that happened on a Wednesday. Well, nobody in Babylon was thinking about it on a Monday. It just happened. But the Bible gives us in Isaiah, the third chapter here, some signs that that the Lord's judgment is on a nation and it is going to begin to disintegrate, because the Lord gives a nation what it needs to be sustained and to support itself. And I'm not going to go back and go through the first three verses in great depth that we went over last week. You can read about that or listen to that on the podcast. But I will read them here. And it says, "For behold, the Lord," this is in Isaiah 3:1, "Behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water," again, the things that support and sustain a nation. And he lists 11 people here that he is going to take away from that nation: the mighty man, the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And we talked about each one of those 11 types of people last week. And I can't remember if I made this point about that last week or not. But when you read about the Lord taking these type of 11 people out, it's very clear that these type of people are needed to sustain and support a nation. Now, when he says, "I'm going to take them away," that doesn't mean that he kills every prophet, he kills every orator, he kills every man of war. Maybe it means that they move out of those positions. But it probably, to me, if in my speculation, maybe it means more that he takes the desire out of those types of people's heart to do what they do. One of the people here, it talks about the prophet. That's the man that is able to teach and discern spiritual things. You know, I've talked to preachers in the past that have maybe changed churches or left churches, and I'm as convinced of anything that I think sometimes the Lord may dry a preacher up, meaning that he loses his zeal, he loses his desire to study as intently as he used to, not because he's lazy, not because he's got major sin in his life, but as a chastisement against a stagnant church. And so you may see that a preacher just seems to, he just feels like he is just dried up and he just can't get the words out and he can't find the motivation to study. And maybe he moves on to another church and all of a sudden that zeal and that fire comes back. It's very possible that the Lord took him away from something that in a sense wasn't worthy of his teaching, because they were so stagnant in their walk and zeal for the Lord. So maybe the Lord has taken the desire away from these men to do what they do. But I want to look specifically, starting in verse 4, and continue to look at the signs of a nation that is disintegrating. And in verse 4 it says, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child." Now, this does not mean like Josiah, that I think it was an 8 or 10 year old boy goes up to the throne. He ended up being a pretty good king. I don't think this is necessarily referring to the actual age of a child. But a babe here is going to sit in leadership positions. Maybe it is a babe in understanding. Maybe it is a child in the way he interacts and deals with people. Maybe it's that he is a babe or a child in the understanding of God's word. And again, when I stop and I read through these things, there are things that I read in Isaiah, the third chapter here, when I think of our nation in America, that really make me shudder a little bit, because some of these things are very clearly seen. Some of them maybe not as clearly seen. Some of them maybe don't even exist. But when I think about the Lord saying, one of the signs that you will see when a nation starts to disintegrate is that babes will rule over you. Now, I want you to think about when we look at our politicians, when we look at, let's look at the presidential debate. When you watch a presidential debate, from my opinion and from my standpoint, it does not appear to be mature men and women speaking very clearly and spiritually. It's just a bunch of yan-yan. It literally looks like a bunch of kids up there. Well, you said this. Well, no, I didn't. Well, yes, I did, and you didn't. And it's bickering. Have you noticed when political ads are run, their intent is not to say, listen, this is who I am and this is what I'm about. It's just mudslinging. It's pointing fingers at this person said this, and they just sound like a bunch of kids. It's nauseating to watch that. You just don't get a spirit of maturity when you watch our leaders today talk to one another. And it makes me wonder, are we watching babes rule over us? I think about if you were to sit down with some, maybe the presidential candidates that are running right now, and you sat down and you wanted to have a very good spiritual, biblical conversation, I wonder how that would go. I mean, think about it. How would that go if you sat down with one of them and said, hey, let's talk about, you know, Israel and the history of Israel. Let's talk about, you know, salvation. Let's talk about when the Israelites were in bondage to Egypt. Let's talk about Joseph and all the things the Lord did with Joseph. Let's talk about all those things. How do you think that would go? I think it would be very one-sided. Because I do not see a lot of spiritual light in anybody that's trying to sit on the throne of America. Babes and understanding. And that is a sign of a nation that is beginning to disintegrate. I think about in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, a good example of a babe sitting on a throne is when Solomon has died and Rehoboam, his son, takes over. Now, he is not a child in age, but he sits on the throne and all the nation of Israel comes to him and says, listen, your father was hard on us. He was tough on us, and we're asking you, will you lighten this load that your father put on us? And all the old wise counselors of Solomon that sat with Solomon, the wisest man of all time, by the way, and sat and listened to him, he asked them, hey, Israel's coming to me saying that my dad was too hard on them. What should I do? And they basically tell him this, if you will lighten their load, they will serve you forever. Well, then he goes and asks a bunch of kids and young people, I guess I should say, his age. And they say, no way. You need to go back and tell them I'm twice the man my dad was. And if he whipped you with cords, I'm going to whip you with scorpions. I'm going to make it that much harder on you. And what happened? You saw that nation begin to disintegrate because you had a babe in understanding on the throne. So ask yourself, do we have babes trying to rule over us in understanding, in the way they interact with people, in their biblical knowledge? He goes on in verse 5, another sign of a disintegrating nation. He says, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. So here it talks about three different people that are in conflict. One, you've got just neighbor against neighbor. You've got children against the elderly. And when I think about children against the elderly, you can read about it over in 2 Kings, the second chapter. And it talks about Elijah has ascended into heaven in a chariot, and Elisha is standing on earth in his place. And Elisha is walking one day, and it says there were some little children. Now, if you read through the Bible, when it says little children, it doesn't always mean little children. Oftentimes, when it says little children, it refers to Joseph one time as a little child when he was 17. So the indication here is this probably is some youth, some late teenage young men. And Elisha's walking down the road, and these young men, there's 42 of them, if I remember correctly, come out, and they see Elisha, and apparently Elisha is bald. And they begin to mock him. All right, here is a prophet, a man of God, that has received double the honor of Elijah. A prophet, a man of God, and what the Bible says is an elderly or an ancient man, and these youth come out and they begin to mock him for not having any hair. And Elijah turns around and rebukes them, and the Lord sends bears out of the woods, and all 42 of those either were killed or severely wounded because of what they had done by those bears. You think, oh, what an awful story. Let me tell you this. I think that is a picture that if you are going to treat the ancient and the elderly and not have respect and reverence for them, or respect and reverence for the man or prophet of God, there's only doom waiting for you.
Right.
Now, it may not come in the form of bears coming out of the wood, but it's going to get you nowhere except trouble. But the Bible says when the nation begins to disintegrate, the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Do you see a lot of respect for the elderly in our nation? I think at times you do. But if you just sit and watch maybe a store, and I try to teach my kid this, I said, you don't ever shut the door until you have looked behind you to make sure somebody's not coming in. And if they are, you stand there and you hold the door for them. I don't care if they're young, old, black, white, whatever. Just as a sign of respect, but especially if they're an older person. Do they have the ability to open their door and walk in? Yes, but it is just a sign of respect. It's like taking your hat off when the national anthem is sung. But if you watch a store, how many young people will go in there and there'll be an older person two steps behind them and they'll just let it fall and slam in their face? There's no respect. No respect for the elderly, for the experienced, for the ancient. And the Bible says when the nations begin to disintegrate, neighbor will be against neighbor. We clearly see that. Everybody's looking to be offended. And the child will behave himself proudly against the ancient and the base against the honorable. It goes on in verse 6, and this gets very interesting to me here. In verse 6 it says, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. Now, the situation that has been created up to this point, we've lost 11 very critical people to support and sustain a nation in verses 1 through 3. We've got babes that are ruling over the nation, either in understanding or in how they act. And you've got neighbor against neighbor, child against the elderly, and you've got the base, which is those that are despised and full of disgrace, against the honorable. That's the situation that we've got. What does that generate in the people? It generates a very strong desire to have somebody to fix it all and to lead. And so this man here says, a man shall go take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler. Let this ruin be under thy hand. They're saying, we are desperate for leadership. Desperate. Will you please, please, please take this and fix it? Do you feel like that?
Yeah.
Do you look at our nation and you look at our leaders and are you just saying, oh, please, will somebody get up here and lead this country? I'm not talking about with an economic brain power. I'm talking about a man of God that believes in the Lord and believes in the things of the Bible and views everything in this world through that lens. And I've said it a million times and from the pulpit sometimes, if you want my vote, all you've got to do is stand up there and say, I don't have all the answers, but I am going to get on my knees and pray to God Almighty above when these situations come across my desk and beg Him to lead us in wisdom. You got my vote. Because a man that will do that will never sign off on abortion. You understand?
Yeah.
A man that will do that will never sign off on anything wicked or immoral.
Right.
But he may not have all the answers in the debate. But here, that's what in verse 6, that's what they're looking for. Please, we are desperate. We need somebody. And look, what's sad about this? is he's begging this man to lead, and the only qualifications that he says that this man needs, he says, look, you got clothing. He says, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler. To me, that shows the level of desperation. He says, look, I mean, you got clothing. He's not asking for the eloquent orator. He's not asking for all these things. He's not asking for an economic genius or somebody that's good in foreign policy. They are so desperate when this nation begins to disintegrate that they're saying, man, you got clothing. Will you be our ruler and try to fix this? And I get that. I understand that. They needed somebody to take control. But here's what happens in verse 7. It says, in that day shall he swear, this is the man that is being begged to take over, in that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, meaning I will not fix this, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. What is he saying? He says, I'm not qualified to fix this. Make me not a ruler of the people. Now, I think this guy in verse 7, I think some of the, even the people that would be good, qualified leaders, I think when a nation begins to disintegrate and it is under the Lord's judgment, the Lord takes that desire to lead out of their heart. Why? Why? Because this nation is under judgment. Now notice this, this man in verse 7, I think he's very wise because he says, make me not a ruler of the people, he says, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. This is what we need to understand as a nation that I feel is disintegrating. We are not disintegrating because of political failure. That's not what he doesn't look at this and say, oh, well, this is just political failure, bad decisions by this politician and that. He recognizes we're in the state we're in because we are under the judgment of God. All the desire for these people that are the stay in the staff of a nation, they have, you know, dwindled and withered away. We've got babes that are ruling over us. We've got neighbor against neighbor, children against the elderly. We've got the base against the honorable. We're desperate for leadership. We go to these people that could be good leaders, and there's no desire there for them to lead. And they say, we're under the judgment of God. I can't fix this. You know what fixes this? Repentance will fix this. And he says, this is not political failure. This is because this is spiritual failure. Their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Then he goes on and he says, the show, now this is my boy, if you have checked off every box and no, that's not America. That's not America. That's not America. I don't see how in the world you're going to be able to check this one. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. Do you get that? Do you know where we get the word sodomy? From Sodom. He's speaking here that Jerusalem and Judah are so open about the sin of sodomy, so, listen, proud of it. Did you catch that? Pride? They're so proud of it, they display it. It's part of the opening ceremony of the Olympics. There's parades about it. He says, listen, the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare. That means they proclaim. You know who needs to be proclaiming? The preacher. Amen. But instead of the preacher proclaiming, it's the Sodomites proclaiming. They're saying, look at us, look at this. This is the lifestyle. Come and join. And it says they declare it and they hide it not. Is that America? Absolutely. He says, woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. I heard Brother Sonny Piles preach one time, a great message, and I wish I could go back and find and remember which one it was. And he said, one of the last signs of a dying nation that is under the hand of God is an open, rampant display of homosexuality. He said, you could go through the Bible and find that, and you can at least find it here. A sign of a disintegrating nation. But notice this. That's, oh, this is depressing. This is the nation I live in. It is depressing, but it shouldn't be because verse 10. verse 10 says, in the midst of all this, I'm not going to recap it, in the midst of all the things that we've read up to this point, and the condition and the signs of this nation that is falling, it says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. The Bible talks in many places about, one verse in Psalms, I think it's 33, it says that the Lord knows how to keep his people alive in famine. In a time when there is no food, the Lord knows how to keep his people alive.
Right.
The widow, do you think the Lord knew how to keep that widow alive?
Yes.
Sure. Do you think the Lord knew how to keep Elijah alive when he was hiding from Ahab? And he comes up with this great plan to send the ravens to bring him food. In the midst of a nation that is disintegrating and falling all around us, the Lord knows how to keep his people.
Amen.
I'm talking about here obedient children of God.
Right.
Because it says, they shall eat the fruit of their doings.
Right.
Now, that's very comforting to me, because when I think about a nation that is falling all around us, I think about in the midst of that nation, the Lord looks down and sees a household here, a church here, a family here, that have continued to keep their eyes focused on the Lord, understanding that this is not their home, and their doings are pleasing to the Lord. And when this nation disintegrates, they are left standing.
Amen.
I think about, sorry, I got to go, Brother Tim, with the Lord of the Rings. You know, at the end of the Lord of the Rings, when, for you Lord of the Rings people, when they destroy the ring and Mount Doom and the Great Eye Falls, and there's a little group of people that are the good guys, and they're surrounded by the bad guys. And when that tower falls, and you just see basically a cloud of dust, and all the wicked fall.
Amen.
But those that are good and righteous are still standing.
Amen.
I think about that when I read about this, that it should be well with the righteous. Verse 11, it says, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Now, let me close with verse 12 here. As the last, at least the ones that I'm going to preach about, the last sign of a disintegrating nation, degrading nation, it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. The word oppressor there means to exert demanding force and pressure. Okay? When I look at our nation, I don't see, there's no doubt in my mind that most homes are ruled by the children. The pressure that children put on the parents that this is what we want to do and this is how we want to do it is very clearly seen. It could be as simple as this. Well, I want to play this sport. And all my other friends are playing this sport. I want to play this sport. Well, listen, our family time is already limited as it is, but everybody else is playing and I want to play it. Do you feel the demanding pressure? And then what happens? Okay, we'll sign you up. And what little family time they had is gone. Why? Listen, the Lord. I love sports. My boys play sports. I love them. But the Lord is not concerned about sports. The Lord is concerned about the family. But how many times do the children exert demanding pressure on a parent or parents to get what they want, even when it's not what is best for the family? Are we there? Yes. As for my people, children are their oppressors, exerting demanding pressure on the family. And it says, and women rule over them. Now, if you want to take that very literal, look at our presidential election coming up. Women rule over them. I really think that's not so much of a jab at women there,
right,
as it is weak men.
Right.
Now, I want you to think about this in Matthew, the 14th chapter. Why was John the Baptist beheaded? Was it because the king, the man in authority, wanted him beheaded?
No.
As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was very sorrowful about that, what happened. If you remember, his wife comes to him and says, I want the head of John the Baptist brought to me on a platter. And the king had made an oath there, and he didn't want to crawfish and back up on his oath, so he had to give her what he wanted, what she wanted. Even though the Bible says he was very sorrowful about it, because John the Baptist was in prison at this time. It was not Herod that had John the Baptist killed. It was his wife. She was ruling right then. She was ruling over a weak-willed man, and it cost a man of God his life. I don't think this is necessarily speaking about women in leadership roles as much as it is about men who just don't have the spiritual gumption to lead. And through them, look at Ahab and Jezebel. And through them, women, and or wicked women for certain, can work their magic. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of the path. Don't miss that. They which lead thee cause thee to err. Okay? Let me close with this right here. These two, maybe a few takeaway thoughts. Number one, I believe our nation is disintegrating. When I read through here, there's just too many signs based on this Bible that our nation is under the judgment of God. So pray for it. Pray for our nation. And number two, don't ever feel hopeless, because out of all this negativity, in the middle of that, he sandwiches a verse 10 that says, "But because of the doings of the righteous, it'll be well with them." And the Lord knows how to keep his people alive during famine. People say sometimes, the primitive Baptists who believe in salvation by grace, said, well, if I believe what you believe, I just go out and sin all I want to. That's a whole other sermon for another time. But if there's no other reason to serve and follow the Lord, it's found in verse 10. That when things crumble around you, the Lord knows how to hold his people up. I hope that's been profitable to you, and please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.